Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. So glad that you are here as we gather to worship together. Today, I want to bring to you a message from God's Word entitled, Grabbing God's Truth. Not just recognizing God's truth, but grabbing it and making it the foundation of our lives. See, we are in a battle. You and I are in a battle, and the battle is about truth. And as we're in this battle, we need to be continually refocusing ourselves on God's truth. So we don't just know it, but that we build our lives upon it. It becomes the foundation. Anything else, anything other than God's truth is a crumbling foundation that'll never support us in the trials and the hardships of life. We need to build our lives on God's truth. And when I talk about that, I want to move us from just thinking about theoretical truth or truth that's a statement or a principle. We are building our lives upon the one who is the truth. Jesus is truth personified. Jesus is truth made alive. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. And as we focus on truth, we're focusing on Him. He's the author of truth. He is the essence of truth. He is truth. And so we want to be people who are building our lives on Jesus, the truthful one. Now, I haven't preached for two Sundays in a row, so I've got all this desire inside of me to communicate God's truth because of two things. I love God, and I love talking about Him. And secondly, I love you, and I want you to know Jesus Christ. I want you to know God. And so preaching's this great privilege of being able to talk about the one I love, the one we love, and inviting us all to love Him more. So we want to enter into Him this morning as we enter into His Word. But the reality is that we are in a battle. We are in a season of great struggle, and there seems to be an increase of falsehood swarming around us and around the world. There seems to be delusion that's spreading. And so ever more so, we need to build our lives upon the truth. It's our foundation. And if we have a foundation of truth, that then will determine our beliefs, and that will then impact our thoughts, and that will then determine our words, and that will then determine our deeds. How we live is impacted by the foundation we're standing on. So do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? Do you know Him, the truthful one? I had the privilege of being dean of our Bible camp a couple of weeks ago, and so many great young leaders, and they were bringing up stuff from past and talking about our goals for the week. And one of the kids said, our goal for the week, one of our rules for the week is to learn more about Jesus. And while that's a great goal, I said, no, let's change that. As new dean, I get to change some things, right? Let's change the goal from learning about Jesus to encountering Jesus. You see the difference? Some people keep Jesus as a thought, as a truth, as a concept, somewhere in the background. But since Jesus is not just truth as a statement, but truth personified, we want to be encountering Him. We want to be encountering the living Christ and being in this relationship that's intensifying and growing so that what He says, the truth He communicates, undergirds us, but it's not just something that's dry and lifeless. It's Him Himself that we're encountering and we're building our life upon. We want to be people of the truth. Now, for a call to worship, I selected for you Psalm 25, verses 4 through 7. It reads in the NIV, "Show me your ways, Lord." That's a good prayer. Maybe that should be a daily prayer. "Teach me your paths, Lord." A second good prayer. "Guide me in your truth, Lord, and teach me." That's what we need on a day-by-day basis. God to be showing us. God to be teaching us. God to be guiding us. God to be drawing us into Himself and what He says. "For you are my God, you are my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways, but according to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Now, the Psalms are wonderful prayers often that can be models for us as we pray, as we communicate to God. And so we glean insights from them. And as the psalmist is saying, Lord, show me your truth. We want to be men and women who are continually saying, Lord, show me your truth. Guide me into your truth. Jesus was interacting with some people in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. And this is what he said. Or it starts off by saying, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, you have probably run into people, I've run into people who have referenced that verse. The truth will set you free is what they have as their part of that verse that they've remembered and held on to. The truth will set you free. And that is an accurate statement. But notice how it doesn't include the first part of that verse. It doesn't include the first part where Jesus is saying, if you abide in my word, or if you continue in my word, or if you hold on to my word, then you are knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's really an if-then statement. And so what that points out to us, and something that's so important for our daily Christian victory, it's not enough to know cerebrally the truth. It's not enough to know intellectually the truth. We need to be a person who is connected to the truthful one. We need to be a person who's abiding in Christ, the living word, who's staying connected to Christ, the living word, who is holding on to Christ, the one who spoke these words of life. So the reality of this statement is, if you hold on to Christ, his words, his truth, then you're truly a disciple, and the truthful one and the truth that he has said will set you free. Do you want freedom? Then you need the Christ who is the truth. And you need to build your life upon his truth. It's an if-then statement. So it's not enough to know the truth. You need to abide in that truth, stay connected to that truth, hang on to that truth, and input it into every aspect of your life. You know, a lie can work through and ruin a whole relationship, a whole business, a whole community. Lies spread. To counteract the lies, we need the antidote of God's truth. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul makes an appeal to followers of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present yourselves as sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual act of worship. And then this important line, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern and prove the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So there's this challenge to you and to me then through this scripture, to be men and women who are not conforming to the culture in which we live, or to the popular opinions or to the political correctness, but rather we are being people who are in the process of being renewed by truth, renewed by the word of God, renewed by Jesus, the truth, speaking into our hearts. Now the word there is be not conformed, but transformed. It's such a wonderful word, transformed. It's from the word metamorphosis. It's the same word we use to describe an ugly caterpillar becoming a beautiful butterfly. In my garden, I've been yanking out weeds left and right, but I've left the milkweed because I'm hoping that some monarch butterflies will lay some eggs, which will turn into some caterpillars, which will eat all the leaves and then form chrysalises and then be transformed inside of that chrysalis into a butterfly. I'm hoping my garden is producing butterflies. Just as an ugly caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly, you and I are invited in this scripture to be transformed, metamorphosized into something beautiful, something God-like, something in the image of God. So our ugliness, our worldliness, the things that are comely or unbecomely, the things of us that are undesirable, we bring those things to Christ. And then we wrap ourselves up in His truth. We soak ourselves and saturate ourselves in His truth. And God transforms us by removing the things of the world, removing the things of the flesh, removing the things of the enemy, and producing in us Christ-like beauty. You were meant to fly. You were meant to bring Christ's glory. You were meant to spread His beauty. And it's Christ, the truthful one, who wants to saturate you with His truth to transform you ever increasingly into the image of God. While on vacation, I was reading a book by Dr. Rob Reimer. He wasn't a doctor when he was a classmate of mine in seminary, but he's gone on to write a lot and teach a lot. Interesting young man. I think he's young, because I remember he was young, but I guess he's as old as me. But his recent book is called Soul Care, and I confess I haven't gotten very far, because I read and then I put it down and I think. And then I read and I put it down and I think. And apparently I've been doing too much thinking because I haven't got real far through the book. But I've really enjoyed his emphasis on the transformation that takes place in our souls as we saturate ourselves with God's truth. And he too points out how this verse that we've been looking at in John chapter 8 is an if-then statement. We have to be holding on to the truth if we are to be set free. And he writes this. This is the way you renew your mind, so that it, mind, transforms your life. You must hold on to the truth precisely at the moment that the lie is vying for position in your heart and in your soul and in your behaviors. So a lie pops up. What do you do at that very moment? When that lie rears its ugly head, whether it's saying that you are unlovable, whether it's saying that you are unworthy, whether it's saying that you are a failure, whether it's saying that you'll always be alone and that your life is going to be a failure, whatever the lie might be, at that very moment, when the lie pops up, that's when the truth must not just be known, but applied, but put into that situation to counteract that lie. The truth of who you are in Christ and in your spirit must be tightly grasped precisely when the lies of your soul are threatening to prevent you from becoming who you already are. And the premise of his book then is teaching on how to do that, how to continually be bringing the truth into each situation and continually evaluating the lies that you have believed. I don't know about you, but I've believed some lies. One of the lies that amazes me as it pops out of my own mouth often is that I'm a failure, or that I'm an idiot, or that I'm so stupid. I'm amazed at how often I've told myself that. I'll do something, and yes, it was dumb. Yes, it was idiotic. Yes, it was stupid. But when I do that thing, I say, oh, Joel, you're such an idiot. You ever said that? I mean, not Joel, you're an idiot, but you're... I know you said that, but about yourself, have you ever said about yourself that you're an idiot? The reality is that you might do idiotic things once in a while, but you're not an idiot. You're made in God's image. You're a man who God loves. You're a woman that God dearly hangs on to and treasures. Your identity is what God says and what the truth of God's word is. Your identity is not the things you've learned to repeat to yourself, if those things are from the world or the flesh or from the devil. You want to now saturate yourself in God's truth so that when a lie pops up, whether it comes to your own mouth or somewhere else, that you can recognize it, You can say, stop. You can evaluate it and say, you don't belong here. You're not in alignment with God's word. You're not part of the truthful one's message to me. So I reject you, lie. See, our life is a journey of weeding out of our lives the things that the world or the flesh or the devil put in there so that the beauty of Christ can shine through. I forget the name of the sculptor who was asked how he made such wonderful sculptures out of just a block of marble or some other stone. And he says, I just chip away all the things that don't belong to reveal what was already inside that stone. And that's what God does. But for some reason, he chooses to involve us in that process of transformation. So we want to be men and women who are continually hanging on to God's truth, continually reinforcing God's truth, and continually saturating our lives in God's truth. Let me read again from Rob Reimer's book. In Christ, you are forgiven. You are adopted. The Father chose you out of a heart full of love so that you could be holy and blameless in His sight. He accomplished this through Christ. Your spirit is, in fact, now holy and blameless. Your blamelessness is not dependent on your getting your act together. I'm so glad for that. Rather, your blamelessness, it was grace to you before the foundation of the earth. It is a fact in your spirit. So you must hold on to this truth when you are being tempted to feel unworthy or unlovable or sin-stained or irreparable. The truth alone will not set you free, but holding on to the truth in the face of the lie over and over again will set you free. The truth will set you free. See, all of us are affected by lies. They form us, they form in us as a result of things we were told, things that happened to us, pains that we have suffered, the culture in which we live, our own sin and Satan's dirty work. These lies prevent us from experiencing the health, the freedom, the maturity that is our inheritance in Christ. And they can't be ignored any more than a crumbling foundation can be ignored. The lies must be identified, and then we must reconstruct the foundation of our lives upon the truth by the renewing of our mind. So Rob Reimer is offering us an invitation for soul transformation, and I want to be on that journey myself, and I'm inviting you to be on a journey of soul transformation as you saturate yourself in Christ, the truth. So how do we do that? We read God's Word, first of all. We read God's Word, or we listen to God's Word, or somehow we receive God's Word, and we let it start percolating inside of us and spreading around so that it impacts our thoughts and then our values and then our goals and then our ambitions and then our words and then our deeds and then the family in which we're living and then the community that we're part of, the things at work, the things at school. It's a process of letting the Word of God inform us and draw us into a relationship. R.C. Sproul is a theologian that's had an impact in our modern world. He wrote, anyone who would be a disciple of Christ must be a learner of the teachings of Christ. That's good, just incomplete. But anyone who would be a disciple of Christ must be a learner of the teachings of Christ, and then not just a learner, but one who holds on to a relationship with Christ himself and applies those truths to every area of his life. See, if you've been called to follow Christ, then you need to know what Christ said. One of the things I read I see in surveys and see people talking about is the biblical ignorance of our culture. When you look at what some churches and church movements are doing, and you shake your head and go, how could they do those things? How could they make those decisions? How could they have those kind of proclamations? How could they esteem those worldly values against biblical values? The answer to that is, well, they don't know the Bible. Or they've ignored the Bible. Or they've chosen to say that, well, the Bible is outdated and we know better now. Let's be real clear. We reject the idea of progressive revelation, which means we reject the idea that we know better now than what the people who wrote the Bible knew years ago. See, that's a lie from the pit of hell. that human beings are smart enough to know better than what the Bible actually says. That'll get you in a destruction pattern quicker than anything you could think of, if you start elevating human wisdom over biblical revelation. The truth is, the Bible is God's perfect word for us, and it's authoritative in every area of life to which it speaks, and it is the foundation upon which we build our beliefs and our values, our behaviors, and the conduct that we esteem. It's the word of God that we build our lives upon. As Christ, the word, speaks it into our hearts, we trust the word over modern culture. Where's Randy when I need him? Can I get an amen somewhere in the room? We trust the scripture above modern culture because modern culture is deluded and truth comes from God. And we want to build our foundation on God's truth in every area of our life. So what do? You read God's word. And when you read God's word, you say, okay, that's what God says, so I believe it. It says in God's word that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe it. God's the author of everything that exists. That makes him sovereign king. Or a little while later in that same chapter, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That's God's word. I believe it. It's foundational. So what do when you meet a really nice person who tells you they're homosexual, or tells you they're transgender, or tells you that there's 50 different genders? You love that person. You love that person. But you do not accept their opinion as being superior to God's revelation. You say, I love you. I think you're a little confused about your identity and about truth, but I love you. Here's what God says, and here's what I believe, because God said it, and I trust him over you. We're going to run into that more and more. Young people, you're going to run into that a lot. People who claim one thing, live one way, espouse a certain value. But the reality is that God's word is trustworthy in everything it says. And we build our lives upon its foundation. Or what if someone says to you that, you know, that's okay, you're a Christian, I'm not a Christian, I'm finding another way to heaven. Do you believe that there are multiple ways to heaven? Do you believe that everybody gets to heaven just because they're created? Or do you believe what Scripture says? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If Jesus said it, I believe it. That settles it. Therefore, I love the person enough to say, I care about you, but here's what Jesus says. And I urge you to enter into our saving relationship with Jesus Christ, because he says he's the way to heaven. But what about you as a Christian? Do you believe lies? Do you believe lies about yourself? Your enemy is continually trying to confuse you about your own identity. One of the most common things I run into time after time is people feeling like they're unlovable. People feel unlovable. People feel rejection. The world has been hard on them. They've experienced one rejection after another or one abuse after another. Things have happened. Circumstances have occurred. And so they start internalizing this idea that they're unlovable. But what does God's word say? God's word says he loves you even when you were a sinner. And he died for you before you cleaned up your life. He loves you. Or another text, certainly you know this one. It says, God so loved the world, that means all humanity, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Salvation comes through a Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you because he loves you. He loves you so much that he thought you were worth dying for. You were worth him shedding his blood for. Your worth is not determined by culture. It's not determined by any of the lies. It's determined by what Christ has done and what Christ has said. Rob Reimer pointed out three common lies, and as I was evaluating them while sitting and looking out at the 6 a.m. sunrise over Grace Lake, these things were going around and around in my head, I'm thinking, do I believe any of these lies? Do I believe that my value is determined by my performance? When I do well, I'm more lovable than when I do badly? That doesn't line up with God's truth. God said he loved me while I was yet a sinner. Before the foundation of the world, he loved me. His love was predetermined. It has nothing to do with my performance. Good or bad, he loves me. Or what about the lie of, I'm more loved if the people around me like me and love me? Being a people pleaser. Have you bought into that lie? You got to make everyone around you happy. You got to make everyone around you think you're the greatest. You got to be a people pleaser. That's how you determine your value. That's a trap that'll lead you into depression super quickly. It's not in alignment with God's truth. Or this third one he points out is you have to have everything in control. You have to control things. If you have control, then you're valuable. I think the people that believe that haven't maybe lived long enough. His life is out of control. You'll never control the situations around you. The harder you try, the more you're going to wear yourself out. Life is chaos. And the sooner you can get an acceptance of that truth and realize that your value is not dependent upon you controlling the situations and the people around you, the better off you will be. So I invite you to do a little introspection this week. Ask God, do you believe any lies about yourself, about him, about the people around you? Have you bought into things that the world esteems or the enemy pushes or even that you have told yourself that are not factual? And then soak in God's truth. Invite God to transform your thinking so that an ugly little caterpillar like you can be transformed into the beauty of Christ's image. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we affirm that you are truth. Your word is truth, not some of it, but all of it. And so we invite you to use your word in us like a scalpel, like a bright light, but even more so, like arms of love that draw us to yourself so that your truth would permeate every aspect of our being, every area of our thinking and our valuing and our prioritizing. Impact every area of how we then speak and how we then act and how we then do life. We want our foundation to be built on you, Jesus, and your truth. So transform us. Metamorphize us, Lord. Make us like Christ. Chip away that which does not belong. And put into us your very self for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.